the debut of the Darris Dameron montage. Has Dad hit another homer?
I love you, Dad.
We're going to find out in about 25 minutes. Putting together some audio with the Hail Mary highlight. It'll make its total request live world premiere at 5:30 on The Fan. The DMV's football team has been outstanding, occasionally at times. Members on the defense have struggled. We all know some folks around us may be struggling every now and then, right? You lose a friend, a family member recently. The exclusive sponsor of our show is the law firm Cundori & Murad. They'll guide you through the difficult probate administration process. They will help bring clarity and closure to a loved one's estate. Schedule a free consultation with their probate and estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. The Commanders at 6-2 on the heels of a 52-yard walk-off win. That was the first time in the history of the organization post-merger, all the numbers and the facts and the data go back to 1970, that they have won in regulation on a walk-off touchdown.
At the horn, man.
Hail Mary. There's more to that than just playing 500 in your backyard. For our intel on how to execute a Hail Mary, let's bring on a quarterback in his day and more recently a play caller and a head coach, our guy, Jay Gruden.
On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Tedbert Automotive Group, Tedbert Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Tedbert Chantilly Lincoln, and Tedbert Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Tedbert for life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at Tedbert.com.
Jay, what did you think of the execution for Washington of that 52-yard game winner?
Well, it worked, didn't it? So it was perfect. Perfect execution. Yeah. Jaden Daniels was incredible, buying a time, letting his receivers get down there and get in position to make a play. The offensive line was incredible, just hanging on those three poor rushers who were gassed. They couldn't come close to them. The linemen were pummeling them. It was awesome to see. It was just well executed. You know, you like to think you have a plan, but if you're going down there, meeting down there at a certain point, throw the ball up, hopefully you have a couple jumpers, a tip it, one guy trailing, one guy behind it, and hopefully it works out. You know, it's not as easy a look there. That looked easy, but those are very hard to complete. That's why they're called Hail Marys.
Jay, as a coach, this would be my impression as a pudgy zilch outside looking in. But this, a game like that would be perfect if I was a head coach, because you still get the win, right? You get to enjoy all the spoils that come from being atop your division 6-2, but there's a billion and one things to go over film-wise, like where you ain't that great yet, right? Some correctable stuff, et cetera. How would you view yesterday? Obviously, they got the win, which is the most important thing, but there was also a lot wrong.
There were some things wrong, but the most impressive thing I think this Commander team does, they protect the football, man, and then they punt when they have to punt. You know, they missed a field goal, unfortunately, for the first time, I think, this year, since they made the change. But you're going to win some ugly games like this. Chicago's got a good defense. They don't give up big plays. They're a good tackling team. They're a good run defense. So it's going to be a grind some of these weeks. You're going to have to win ugly. Now, I didn't like the fact they gave up that long touchdown run to Swift. They lost contain and didn't do a good job pursuing on that one. And in the last touchdown drive, they let Caleb get out of the pocket and throw a little dump-off scramble play for game 30. Other than that, defense played pretty damn good. And offensively, I thought Jaden did some good things. He had some great conversions on third down with his legs, two of them. Nice bomb for Terry McLaurin for a third down and 9 or third down and 10. They didn't finish drives, which is frustrating a little bit, so they'll have that to go over. But overall, I think it was a pretty solid game against a pretty solid defense.
Jay Gruden on G&D. I want to go back to the Hail Mary. So Jaden said after the game his coaching point is basically to not throw the ball out of the back of the end zone. What else on that play is his job? You got to buy some time, clearly, but you never see anyone buy that much time. I mean, is it just buy as much as possible? Because the more the merrier, like the more the better. What is? How do you coach him?
Yeah,
on
for
that?
Sure, for sure. Especially since they had such a long way to go. The 14-yard or 12-yard completion before the Hail Mary was critical for them to have a chance to get the ball close to the end zone. I mean, that was a huge play, and then you're just trying to get. Hey, just buy enough time to let your guys get down there, throw it up there as high as you can with some velocity and let those guys make a play. But you're right. The cardinal sin is thrown out of the back of the end zone. That's most quarterbacks do that at the end of a half when they don't want to throw a pick for their stats. Drives me crazy. But at the end of a game, you got to keep it in play to give your guys a chance. And they did that.
The diamond formation that they supposedly were running with a tip man in the back, a front guy, and then two on the sides. Is that the only way to do a Hail Mary, and what are the roles there?
Typically, we just did a bunch set, and we all ran down there. We always used to try to meet at the numbers, so we always everybody had a landmark. So if we did 3x1, the guy by himself, he'd be the trailer coming across the formation. The three guys would go up there, and two would be jumpers, and one would try to play the ricochet from behind everybody, and the other guy would come and get the ricochet in front of everybody. So you have two jumpers, and one guy behind, one guy in front, and you just throw it up there. I mean, it's nearly no art to it. It's pure luck, and hopefully you get a good tip and a good bounce and then make a play. Sometimes a jumper can go up and catch the ball. That happened with Lazar a couple times with Aaron Rodgers. So if you can catch it, catch it. If you can't catch it, then you got to try to hit it with your fist or try to tip it up or back or front.
Jay Gruden with us here on G&D. Jay, as a head coach, what would you do with Tyrique Stevenson, really good football player, who at the start of that play was jawing with fans and literally not looking at the line of scrimmage? Then he's the guy that touched it to allow it to go to Noah Brown. What would the conversation go?
Well, first I'd have a conversation with my staff and say, who the hell is anybody watching our guys? We need to take a timeout, get these guys, get some poise about them, get their ass back in position where they need to be. They had three timeouts. You can't take them with you. They should have called timeout before the Hail Mary or before the play before the Hail Mary, one of them, and just calmed everybody down and got everybody right. So that's number one. Number two, the kid's got to learn from it. You know, it's an emotional game out there. He thought he had the win. He's talking a little trash. I'm sure he's been getting trash talked by a lot of fans, so he's giving it back. But obviously you can't have that. The kid's very sorry about it. I know the coaches are pissed off about it, but you got to address it and move on.
Jay Gruden, Grant and Danny here on The Fan. The play before the Hail Mary, I thought was even, I don't want to say worse malpractice for the Bears staff, but I don't understand what they were thinking there. Like, to me, they played everybody a mile off the line of scrimmage to take away the Hail Mary with 8 seconds to go, and Washington correctly, smartly said, okay, well, we'll get into Hail Mary range, and we're just going to take a free 15. It ended up being 13, so they got from the 35 to the 48 out of bounds with 2 seconds. It wasn't even really bang, bang, or close. I just thought not playing the sidelines and trying to take that away was ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't understand that at all, especially in the boundary. Maybe put Jalen Johnson and press him on Terry McLaurin into the boundary and run with him down the sideline. If he runs a go ball, you're running with him. And if he runs an out route, you knock it away or pick six it. You just can't give up a 10-yard out route and give him a chance to hit a Hail Mary. If they don't get that 10-yard out route, they're going to probably have to do hook and lateral or something like that because the Hail Mary would have been out of reach. So I just I know they had the fence coverage because they ran it before the half, two plays before the end of the half. They had the coverage. I don't know why they didn't call it there, but I'm sure that's another one these guys are going to be losing sleep over because this is a game that I'm sure Chicago thought they should won. But I personally believe the better team won. I think Washington outplayed them the entire game except for a couple plays on defense.
Why don't teams rush more against Hail Mary's fifth guy? Last week the Lions did it, sacked Sam Darnold at the end of the game, ended the game, two-point win. You see almost always it's three. Or if you really want to be gutsy, it's four, and then you have seven covering. I'm not suggesting going zero or something, right, and being really ballsy. But like, it seems to me like the standard procedure should be rushing five to get the ball out of a guy's hand.
Yeah, or disrupting one of the receivers. I mean, you can play bump and run and disrupt them and make it take longer to get down, and you still have three or four guys back there to play the Hail Mary. But, yeah, some teams on simulated pressures, which is four- or five-man pressure, which is always good because you want the quarterback to get hit in the face and not be able to step into the throw. You got to throw the ball 65 yards. You got to launch your feet. You got to step into the son of a gun. If you got somebody on you rushing you or the pocket's collapsing, you can't get the ball out there. So, yes, I would absolutely rush five. I never would rush three with a spy. They had a spy on the quarterback. Where is he going to go? Scramble for 70 yards? That was the most mind-blowing thing I've ever seen. But, yeah, I'm sure they're kicking themselves with the way they handled the last two plays, but I definitely would rush five at least just to make sure the quarterback couldn't step into the throw.
Jay, what did you make of Washington in the red zone? I you know, listen, it's easy to say I didn't like a play call because they didn't score touchdowns, but there were a couple I'm kind of going, that's it? You know, like kind of a slow-developing interior power run to Brian Robinson without a ton of space, not a much misdirection going on there. I remember one of the goal line calls, for example. What'd you make of what they did in the red zone?
I think they were probably just trying to be physical with him and try to get the ball, and they try to eliminate some of the quarterback design runs for Jay because of his injury. I think they probably have been a little more creative had it not been for his rib injury, although he did, you know, have 8 carries for 50 yards or whatever it was.
Yep.
Maybe they thought they'd get some movement based on film work. So I don't know. You know, it's pick your poison down. You'll throw the ball and playing a lot of coverage. You're saying, damn, I should have run it. And you run the ball, you get stopped for gain of one. You say, damn, I should have thrown it. It's all about execution for your team, but you got to try to do what you think is best suited for your team going against that opponent. And they obviously thought it was running it.
What do you make of the mechanics now sometimes where they're going no huddle, but they substitute, and then it seems like we're just waiting for a big lineman to kind of jog off the field, right? I mean, that seems to be you're now at the mercy of some 330-pound guy that's out of breath when you're trying to go fast. Like, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that. I just assume huddle. But if you're going to sub, you might as well huddle because you got to wait for the defense to sub with you. So you're going to be standing at the line like a bunch of, you know, that's standing or looking at each other. But that's their process. You know, that's their way of, you know, spicing things up, going fast, playing fast, making teams react fast. That's the way they do it. I don't like the substitution part of the no huddle. I think it defeats the purpose, but they have their rhyme and reason for it.
Speaking of red zone and play calling, the one-yard line play where they gave the ball to the lineman as an up-back, that one was tough for me, Coach. I mean, you got all these weapons. You got Keenan Allen, Rome Odunze, DJ Moore, more running backs you can shake a stick at who have made plays in the game in this season, and you're giving the ball to a dude who looks like me wearing 60 whatever. What are we doing there?
He did look like. I know Shane Walter pretty good. I don't understand that one. That's one of those risk-reward things. I think I brought this up earlier. What's the risk? Fumbling at the one with a lineman? Yeah, we're not going to run this play. Not a chance at all. The reward is a touchdown where we can give it to, you know, they gave it to Rayshon Johnson early or later in the game. They got the touchdown. I think they would rather have done that. I can see throwing a pass to a big fat guy, but not handing the ball off. I know the Fridge did it back in Chicago back in 1972 or whatever it was, but not many other guys have done it. Now, there's a reason why, because there is ball handling involved, and these linemen aren't used to running between tackles, and they're not doing ball security drills before practice like they're running backs and receivers. So that's a tough call for me. I don't think I could pull that one off.
I don't know if you guys saw this. Danny, I don't know if you saw this either, but Dan Orlovsky today on ESPN was blaming Williams on that play. He said the handoff was too high. It was up near the chest. And I'm going, he's like, look at this pocket. And he's like breaking down the film, and he's like, you know, the lineman's doing the right thing, giving him the pocket. You see the ball's a little too high. I'm going, no, you're giving it to number 60-something.
Yeah, there's an issue there.
My guess is that guy's probably not that good at getting the handoff.
He was so low. I don't think he could have got the handoff way down there. He was way down there. That lineman, he was crouched down there. He's ready to just go pull, duck in the pile. I don't know what the hell. That was a weird deal. That's something that they, I'm sure, regret bad.
Jay, is Washington's defense good now?
They're playing great. I mean, you know, a couple of the plays, I don't know how they're doing it. I mean, I think their linebacking play is pretty solid. They're mixing up the fronts, which is good. They're getting the pressure from different people. It's nice to see Deron Payne get his sack. Secondary is doing a good job disguising their intent. They're playing three. They're playing two. They're playing different coverages. And they're playing hard. You know, I think they're a lot like Chicago's defense. They don't give up very many big plays. They play hard and they tackle well. And that's usually when you have two defenses playing like that, it's going to be a lower scoring game and kicking field goals, and that's going to be the issue. But, I'm impressed with the way they're playing.
I thought Johnny Newton was great. When you went back and watched the tape, did he jump out at you at D-tackle at all?
He had some good plays, yeah. I just like the way, you know, Bobby Wagner, I like the way Wagner plays. And I think he's a great leader back there. He runs the show. You can tell the communication process is solid. They're not out of gaps like they were early in the season against Tampa Bay. They didn't look very good in some other games. They're sound in what they're doing, and they're tackling extremely well. And I think it's all led by Bobby and Frankie's doing a good job playing off the edge, playing linebacker. And, you know, Chin's doing a good job. All these guys, Martin had, I think, 10 tackles. I mean, he was all over the place. So I've been impressed with their defense.
Jay, I wanted to ask you this sooner. How would you have approached Jaden Daniels playing in the game kind of throughout the week, right? Knowing that the long-term import of the player can't be overstated for an individual week. And if, you know, if he's limited and if he's got to get a wrap around his body, you know, whenever he comes out of the game, doesn't seem like he's at 100%. Like, how would you have handled that thing all week?
What I would make sure we have close communication with the doctors. I would never make a decision on whether a quarterback should or should not play based on what I feel like he can and can't do. Now, if he's very limited in the way he can throw the ball, then I wouldn't have played him. But obviously he wasn't. Mm-hmm. He threw the Hail Mary 66 yards in the air. So obviously he could get enough torque on his body so the ribs didn't affect the way he threw the ball. You know, if he just had to deal with a little bit of pain and the doctor said, hey, we're going to pad it up and it's going to be protected and it won't be any long-term damage, I got to play him. I mean, hell, he's a hell of a player. You're right in the thick of things in this NFC East. Philadelphia is starting to pick it up a little bit, and every game matters. So if he can go and the doctors say it's okay and Jaden says it's okay, I'm playing the guy. That's just me.
Did you ever, as a quarterback or as a coach, were you on the right side of any Hail Marys at the end of games?
Yeah, Bengals 2013, we threw one against the Ravens at the end of regulation to A.J. It was almost exactly like the one that just happened. It was tipped up, and A.J. Green was the back, and it bounced right to him for an easy completion.
It's funny how easy they look when they're executed like
that.
Like, I mean, it was just – before Noah Brown caught it, you saw it all playing out. When the ball gets bounced up in the air, it's just like standing there, and you're the only one there for a rebound.
Yeah, it was bizarre. But, yeah, it was just – these guys just have problems jumping up at these DBs and just knocking it down. You know, they just try to catch it, or I don't know what the hell they're trying to do. But, yeah, I mean, it's easier said than done. The ball's coming a long way. It's 65 yards in the air, and it's traveling. It's harder than you think to get a good hand on it and just bat it down. You know, guys are leaping all over. They're holding your arms down. It's hard to get both hands on the ball. So it's a unique play, and it's it works once every probably 20 times. But when it does work, it's awesome.
How did you feel about Chicago's defense and their plan against Washington? Even though Washington accumulated a bunch of yards, I know we add on 50-something at the end with that Hail Mary. In regulation, you're still talking about 425, 430 yards of offense, but it didn't feel like they were as connected and smooth kind of moving throughout. What do you think of Chicago's plan and how they kind of disrupted?
Yeah, I agree. I think Washington did pretty much move the ball at will up and down the field, and they just did a really good job in the red zone, or – you know, maybe it's Washington's lack of execution in the red zone or Chicago's execution, one or the other. But I think, I was impressed with the way Washington handled that defense. The defense was pretty good coming in, and the plan was the way they always play. Eberflus is a coverage first guy, and he'll bring safeties down if he gets hurt in a run, but he's not too concerned about the run because usually he stops it with the lighter box, plays more coverage, doesn't want to give up a big play, and they tackle good. And that's kind of been their MO, and that allowed Washington to run the ball a little bit. Robinson had about 60 yards. Jaden had a couple good hits. Eckler had one good hit at the end of the half that didn't really count. It's just one of those bend but don't break defenses, and you hope the team turns the ball over and you create turnovers. But Washington doesn't turn the ball over, so Bears couldn't make any big plays defensively.
I'm nervous to even ask this, but I just watched. I pulled up the clip here in front of me. So it actually gets redirected, basically tipped up in the air twice. And then Green makes the catch in the back of the end zone right on the S in Ravens. But I bring this up to ask, so it was 17-16. There was no time left. I see Marvin Lewis putting one finger up in the air. We're going to tie this thing to go to overtime. Did you guys end up winning the game?
No, we did not. We went to overtime. Oof. And got the ball first, and we went for it on fourth down and two. I tried some kind of idiotic screen pass, and we got snuffed out for a loss of five. Thought I was going to get man and did a little cross pick screen and got man, but one guy didn't fall for it and lost five. And then they went down and kicked the field goal and beat us. So yeah, I would have rather gone for two there, but what the hell?
I think after you hit the Hail Mary, you got to just, you're on the road in Baltimore. You probably go for two.
Let's get the hell out of here. You know, you're on the sideline there for 3.5 hours. You're exhausted. Let's go. I got a good 2-point play, but that was my fault. I cost us on that damn play call on third down. I can't believe I called fourth down. That was stupid.
I shouldn't have brought it up. I mean, I thought if it was a happy ending, then it would be a good thing.
Then it'd be fun to talk about.
We brought it up.
Yeah. But not happy.
Monday Night Football tonight, the Giants play the Steelers. If you were playing a team Sunday that was playing on Monday night, that sounded like a convoluted way to ask this. So, like, you are Dan Quinn, your opponent for this weekend's playing tonight. Do you watch that game like you normally would, kind of at home with the wife or whatever? Or are you in the office, like, there's no tape yet, but are you, like, taking notes and watching in a different way?
Well, you're definitely watching last couple games that they played. Obviously, the Giants have had a tough run here as of late, and you're watching them play, and you already played them once. You play the Giants first and then the Steelers, right?
I think that's it, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then once you get the film in the next morning, try to get a good night's sleep tonight to catch up, get in early in the morning, get the film. The film will be already broken down by your assistants, and then you – put it on and see if they're doing anything drastically different. Any quarterback designed runs, how much are they targeting Malik Nabers? Who's our go-to guy to cover Malik Nabers? What's going to happen here? What's their running game like? Has it changed? And defensively, you just got to take a look at Dexter Lawrence and figure out ways to get four hands on that big son of a gun, because he's the one guy that can beat you.
Jay, what do you usually do during the week on Fridays?
Fridays is usually our red zone day. We practice. We do the practice.
I think
red
he
zone.
Means it's actually kind of, you, Jay Gruden.
No, I mean you right now. Like, you're Jay Gruden right now. What are you doing on Fridays?
On Fridays, I'm probably playing golf there.
What about
Danny,
like?
What do you think I'm doing?
Well, this is like an awkward way to like ask someone out on
by
a date.
The, way, the golf answer was pretty easy.
Well, I think I knew that. Yeah. Well, it's starting to get cold. Maybe he's not, but he is. So every Friday, Jay, we do these Friday field trips.
It just hasn't been this uncomfortable since I watched my buddy ask a girl.
Well,
out
I'm trying to work up
just
the courage
to
do
point.
It. Well, but it's like you have to finesse it. You can't just like bulldoze in there.
Jay, one of these
can
days,
you come?
Will you come hang with us at a bar
would
for a Friday
come?
Pep rally?
Would you ever want to do that?
If you asked me that like 6 weeks ago, I would have done it. I mean, I would have gladly done it, but now I'm going back to Florida. You feel the weather get colder here?
Yeah.
That's when I go to Florida. Oh. So I'll be in Florida.
Big Florida guy. Well, next time you are here on a Friday, let us know. We're getting some good crowds, man. People are fired up to come out and drink and be merry and talk about football.
I would love to, man. You should have asked me that 5 weeks ago. Jesus.
Well, next time. The timing's never been our thing.
Hey, we're not good at that.
You know that. Every now and then we call
I'll
a screen.
That was the goal for one at Baltimore of decisions by us. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, if I back your pen, I'll definitely do it for sure.
All right. Sounds good. So that wasn't too bad. I mean, you
that
got
was
rejected,
hard,
but
yeah.
He let you down nice.
It was the rejection. That's the hard part.
Indeed. Jay, thank you, buddy. Good catching up as always.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
Enjoy the warmth in Florida. That's Jay Gruden. He is our guy on G&D.
On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax. Your F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly in Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for Life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com.
Our first crack at getting to hear the montage put together of the Jaden Daniels Hail Mary heard round the DMV next on Grant and Danny. With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Big thanks to Jay Gruden, who just joined us on the show. Tomorrow at 5 o'clock in that same time slot, you'll hear from Austin Eckler, his normal Tuesday appointment presented by IT Cadre. Looking forward to talking to Austin Eckler on the show. And a bonus guest tomorrow on G&D. Put your hands together, ladies and gentlemen, because tomorrow, Noah Brown, who caught the Hail Mary.
Yep.
For the game-winning touchdown, will be on this very radio program exclusively.
Yeah.
Very excited about that. Studio audience, I know you're fired up. Darius has been working hard behind the scenes. He got an assignment. The assignment was, with audio, make me feel something. Let's see if he did it. The Hail Mary yesterday, everyone's going to remember where they were so they can remember where they are so they can remember where they were. When Jaden Daniels delivered the iconic moment, his legend grew, the Commanders won. We'll take you back to that moment via radio because we can do that.
Pumps down to one last play.
The plays also leading up to it were a really big deal because when you're in that spot, you don't have timeouts, and we used one early, obviously. To get out of bounds, to give yourself a chance at the next play.
And it's going to be getting longer by the second. You're all the way back at the 30-yard line.
I thought Jaden did a fantastic job of, you know, buying time, over to the right side. I don't know how long the play was. Maybe you guys might, but it took a long-ass time. 13 seconds, yeah. I felt every bit of them.
Now you can step into it. Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line.
Throw the ball up, give my guys a shot. I didn't see anything.
We got Jaden Daniels and we got 30 seconds on the clock, you know, so anything can happen.
And the ball is caught! Caught! It's a miracle!
I was juiced up for sure. I'm excited because, I mean, that's kind of like a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Like, not too many people get to experience stuff like that. That was my first time, so obviously I was juiced up the whole stadium, team, sideline, everybody.
It's Noah Brown! Oh my goodness!
Man, we're blessed to have Five leading this team. You know, the things he can do is special. Just even that last play, keeping his composure, fighting like hell to get the ball off and threw a hell of a ball. I wouldn't want to play with any other quarterback. I'm glad to have him.
Town is going crazy.
I just heard people screaming and our sideline rushing the field. So that's how I knew.
It's a madhouse in Landover, Maryland.
He did it.
Crazy, man. It's kind of just you feel the energy throughout the whole stadium, from everybody on the field to everybody in the stands, man. And, you know, I love the fan base here, man. I love the DMV. I love this organization, man. I couldn't be happier for them.
Attaboy.
Yeah, we go.
That's what we wanted.
Yeah, there it is.
A trip down memory lane all the way back to about 22 hours ago, when Jaden Daniels changed the trajectory of this organization with that Hail Mary.
God, I still can't get over it, man. Like, it's so stupid. Do you know what I mean? Like, the whole thing is so stupid, but in the best way.
While he was running around, did you yell, throw the ball? Am I alone in saying, I think four or five times I said, get rid of the ball, throw the ball, throw the ball. Because my greatest fear was we're going to do all that jogging around.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone was somehow going to like slice through or hit him and
trip him up,
see him coming.
Run into somebody.
Throw the ball.
So I said throw the ball a few times. But the thing I said, and again, obviously it worked out. I guess they all knew what they were doing. But when there was remember the line of scrimmage was all the way up to, I think, what, the 48? And he threw it from his own 35. I'm going, move up, move up, move up, move up. Because I'm going, you're going to throw it short of the end zone. It's going to land at like the 10. And he threw it 65, 66, whatever it is, yards in the air. And that was just fine. And Danny, it all worked out perfectly. And obviously, I know nothing and they know everything. And I should probably just shut up for 4.5 hours a day. And I know a lot of you people would like that. But though I'm screaming, move up, when he's getting ready to like crow hop and throw it. I'm going, why are you? I understand you want some arc, but get to like the 38, get to the 40. And he could have done that. And he didn't. And then I'm like, I blacked out.
People love him.
Yeah, they should.
And they should. He does everything correctly. He has done everything off the field correctly, and he has been a terrific player. O'Shea Jackson Jr. yesterday, the son of Ice Cube, was like the actor who's in a lot of movies. He's a rising star in Hollywood. He retweeted the Commanders and said, just start building his statue. Now, Jeffrey Wright, who is a local guy who went to St. Albans High School, I believe, but another terrific actor, was in the stadium yesterday and was tweeting after the game.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Durant came out, not only to talk about the play, but again, Jaden Daniels himself. Dale Earnhardt Jr. was there, was talking about it. Like, the stars were out. But there is something about Daniels. I always talk about at quarterback, you're in the cool kids club or you're not. You're just one of the guys that people decide is awesome. And even when you play bad, if you make one or two nice plays, they'll say you played well. And I'm not saying Jaden Daniels has ever played bad, because he hasn't really. But my point is, you're either cool and just your interception is better than the other guys, right?
Right.
We have one of the cool kids.
We got the cool kid.
Now, it happens that this cool kid is only doing good things, which is awesome. But my point is, even if he were to stop doing the good things for a game or two, it would be okay. Because he's in the cool kids club.
He's in the club.
He has the jacket. They have not had a quarterback in the cool kids club since Robert Griffin in 2012 for a several-week stretch. He didn't even have the jacket all season long, I don't think. Maybe he did, I guess.
He
maybe,
did.
Maybe everybody loved him from day one.
Yeah, he did.
He's the last one, and it's because he was a Heisman Trophy winner and he was a dual threat. You really don't get to be in the cool kids club unless you like run for 700 yards or something like that. Or you know, you're a playmaking quarterback. Josh Allen's in the cool kids club. Joe Burrow might be the only pocket passer that's really in the cool kids club. It's very, very rare. You've got to be a dual threat, I would say, mostly in today's NFL. But we've got a guy that everybody loves, and it just feels surreal. Like, it is hard to wrap my head around that the thing that you're watching for, it's like in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
When you see SGA or these other superstars or Wemby, it's never a wizard. It can't be a wizard.
Never has been.
It wouldn't be a wizard.
Nope.
They're not going to get Cooper Flagg.
No. Nope.
They'll have the worst record, but they won't win that lottery. Or if they do, somehow Cooper Flagg will say he wants to play in China for a year.
Yeah, a new NBA rule says worst record gets the ninth pick.
They can't have Cooper Flagg. Post Alex Ovechkin, this just doesn't happen for us in this town. But maybe it did. What if it did?
And it's pretty clear that it has, to some degree, right?
Well, I mean sustainably, like, for 15 years.
Oh, I know. And this is the part that I'm so nervous about. It's like, I don't have a great analogy, but you remember What's the name of the movie with Jay Baruchel, who's like always whining like that, and TJ Miller, like that she's all that, but where he goes out with the really hot girl, and he can't believe it.
She's not that into you?
Maybe. I can't remember. But you guys know what I'm talking about. He works at the airport.
Yeah, she's not that into you. It's a great underrated comedy.
And the whole time he's just so nervous that he ruins it. He sabotages the relationship because he can't handle the idea that this dime is interested in him.
She loves him.
Yeah.
And he's like, no way. You don't.
He's like, yeah, there's no way. I'm like, that's the movie. It's not that Jaden Daniels is going to betray me, like certain athletes that play in Philadelphia now, but it's like he might get hurt or they might take it away or something happens. Like, that's the fear in the back of my mind. But I'm going, if he just gets to keep playing, we're seeing the special thing every week.
So someone yelled, I don't remember who it was, but one of the players yesterday yelled on the field, and St. Juice kind of echoed these sentiments. You heard in the clip there that Darius built. If we have Jaden Daniels and the football, we got a shot, so to speak. Right now, my fandom of this team is that I am immensely confident. There's not a single team they would play this weekend where I wouldn't consider it a toss-up game. Not one. Not the Chiefs, not the Lions, nobody. If they played this weekend at their building, where I wouldn't give Washington a really good chance. I have not been this confident in this team in years. The defense is playing better. Mm-hmm. The offense is an electric factory. It's a juggernaut. Daniels is one of the great playmakers in the sport. I trust the staff based on how they've prepared this team implicitly right now. Where is your level of confidence in this team? Because I wonder if anybody else is like me out there, where there's not a team in the league I don't think they would play with tit for tat this coming week. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in. MGM National Harbor Listener Lines next. We're taking you up to 6:30 live on Grant and Danny. The Commanders are in first place. They are surging at 6-2, and the legend of Jaden Daniels is growing. Where are you at on your confidence, Danny? Do you get what I'm saying,
which is
name whatever team you want to, best in football. I keep coming up with the Chiefs because they are the unbeaten at this point. They are 7-0. Kansas City plays Washington this week. And by the way, they're not that good on offense. They just haven't quite figured it out yet. Mahomes is having his most mediocre season he's had. I think Washington very well wins that game. I think it comes down to the wire. Who else? Houston? They've gotten destroyed by the Vikings. Buffalo just had a two-game losing streak. The Steelers could be 6-2 after tonight. Their quarterback's Russell Wilson. The Lions are really good. They're 6-1. They scored 52 yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit probably beats Washington. But I'm not sure about that. I don't think there's a team in the league they're not pretty much even with going into a game right now.
Yeah, and so I want to really define this and hone in on it. They would be underdogs on a neutral site against a handful of teams in the NFL. That, I don't think anybody's saying they're the number one in everyone's power rankings, they're the number one team, they're the prohibitive favorite, blah, blah, blah. The point is, it is not a joke to say Washington could play with Buffalo. They can compete with Houston the way that Houston all of a sudden can't throw the ball as well as we're used to seeing, you know, after Diggs gets hurt, no Nico Collins. Could they play with, like, Detroit right now may be the best team in the NFL, maybe the best team certainly in the NFC. They'd be favored in the game, and they should be. Are you 100% convinced that Washington couldn't hang? That they couldn't win a 37-34 type shootout? I think that's the point. Not the random one-off Washington beats the Super Bowl winner, eventual Super Bowl winner, while going 7-9 or whatever the hell they've done a million times. This is different. This is kind of that bona fide. If you're bad, you're getting your ass kicked. You come play Washington. You're going to leave with your tail between your legs for a silent plane ride. If you're good, you're right there with them.
We really haven't seen them go to a team's house and destroy them that's bad since Arizona, probably. And I don't even know if they're bad as much as they had a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
But that'll be this weekend's challenge. That'll be the new fun thing is going to the Giants. They'll be playing on a short week. They play tonight. Let's go to Chris in Hyattsville on Grant and Danny. How are you, Chris?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I could barely get to sleep last night. It was like a kid after Christmas, and he got a brand new bike. And even though I couldn't ride it, I was pretending,
thinking about
watching it over and over again and thinking about it. I must have
sleeping
watched
was hard. You're right.
Yeah, like, I could not shut down.
Good luck trying to turn off your phone or computer. I just wanted to keep watching the content.
Yep.
Yeah. So I would say, like, before the season starts, you try to be objective and you look and you say, well, is this roster good enough to win? And you look and you say, well, we don't really have a true number two wide receiver. How good is the offensive line? We don't have a true, you know, stalwart pass rusher on the defensive end. But what's become evident about this team is that the whole is greater than the sum of the individual parts. And that's credit to the coaching staff and by certainly Jaden Daniels, who, as the kids say, I just learned this term, has plot armor. I mean, it really does not matter what's going to situations going on. He will prevail because he's that important to the Commander's cinematic universe.
What is plot armor?
That's the character has to survive for the plot. So in other words, like, no matter what happens, this character is going to make it. Like, for example,
you can't kill Chris Rock 3 minutes into the Chris Rock movie.
Grant's a main character in a movie that's 10 years from now. We're making a prequel. Oh, there's so much danger. Grant's going to make it. Plot armor. We've seen you in the after one. You know what I mean?
So how does Jaden Daniels have plot armor?
It's when you're invincible. And it just, like, it doesn't make any sense, but he's the main character.
He's definitely inevitable. Grant and Danny with you here on The Fan. Let's go to Charles in Falls Church on G&D. Charles, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Greg. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Bob.
How are you, Robert?
I am holding my breath until this weekend. I've been telling all my buddies we should beat the Giants. But this is the second time now a team is going to play against the new Cliff offense. Also the second time against a new rookie quarterback.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They stink, but they're professionals. So
it's an interesting point,
time
actually.
To adjust. Having seen it once already now, this is the week, right? Especially because you just mentioned away. If they can go in away, work a team that should be worked, who's now had previous experience with all this new stuff, then I'm a believer. I'm not a believer now, but that's when I'm all in.
You become extra believing. I know what you mean.
But now he's all the way in.
Because that Giants defense is good. Now, the numbers are pretty good.
I think they're fine.
But I think they're better than that. Their offense hangs them out to dry every second of every day. They're in the teens and a lot of the rankings.
Too, by the way.
Well, yeah. But I think that defense is pretty good. We'll see what happens tonight against Pittsburgh, obviously. I think they get shellacked, but whatever. But, you know, there's turmoil. You step on some throats up there. But it's a good point. I mean, what's happened previously with Kingsbury is for 8 games, 9 games, 10 games, whatever, it's a juggernaut. It's a buzzsaw. Slowly but surely it erodes. And the next thing you know, all of a sudden they're not the same group. You're hoping they've avoided those pitfalls and is like year abroad finding himself in the, you know, in the other reaches of the world and then being an intern for USC or whatever he was. He's kind of rediscovered it and he's improved, self-scouted a bit. But that's kind of in the back of a lot of people's heads. I get that.
The Giants rank 19th in yards per play defensively and dead last, 32nd against the run right now in the NFL. Let's go to Dave and Reston on G&D. What's up, Dave?
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Hey, bud.
My confidence is through the roof because it's the first time in my life where we actually seem to have a direction and some personnel that seem to know what they're doing. And ever since Snyder left, it's just been looking like we've turned the train around and are going the other direction. And you guys asked earlier what we should call that game. I think we should call it the Return of Hope.
The Return of Hope.
The Return of Hope.
A little wordy.
Hope returns.
10 years from now, you're like, do you remember the Return of Hope? I guess that could play.
Yeah.
A little bit wordy, but hey, today I'm accepting all comers.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it, as long as you call.
I liked Hail Maryland. I don't know who came up with that, but I think that's pretty good. Now, the problem with that as a Virginia guy, is that, you know, D.C. people are going to take offense.
And then there's like a Maryland flag on it somehow.
Virginia people are going to be annoyed. They're going to try to pour Old Bay all over
it. Yeah, there's Old Bay everywhere.
For some reason, there's going to be lots of traffic. And then it's not going to be able to drive at all.
Then you're like confused around the monuments and it's like, can you move?
It's going to cut you off and maybe bump into you.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But otherwise, I kind of like Hail Maryland. It's not bad. Let it simmer. See where it takes you.
Let it marinate. We don't have to take it out of the oven yet.
I do just love Russell coming up to me. 4 o'clock this afternoon. I think I got it. Noah's Ark. Like I saw that tweet 3 minutes after the game ended last night. Someone had that one already?
Someone already said it?
G&D taking you up to 6:30. Let's do Don't Forget About next. And I want to bring something up I have not heard one person mention. I'm sure they have. I have not heard it mentioned today, and I think it should get acknowledged. Perfect for Don't Forget About. We'll do that next.